Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for July 6th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Nama Barkai about the dynamics of cell signaling events during lateral inhibition. Lateral inhibition is a process by which one cell is singled out from a field of cells to adopt a particular fate. Dr. Barkai joined me on the phone from her lab at the Weizmann Institute for Science in Rehovot, Israel. Hello, Dr. Barkai.
Hello.
Lateral inhibition is a process that's used during development to specify a particular cell for a particular fate from a field of cells that are developmentally equivalent. Can you briefly describe how lateral inhibition works?
It can work when you have a cluster of cells, if you need to choose just one cell out of a cluster of cells. And it can also work when you have a field of cells and you want to differentiate it in a mosaic-like fashion. And there's actually some differences between the cells. They could be stochastic and they could be pre-pattern. And lateral inhibition amplifies those differences. And basically, the first cell which is chosen inhibits all of its neighbors.
The context in which your group studies lateral inhibition is the specification of sensory organ precursor cells from a field of proneural cells in the fly. There's one sensory organ precursor cell, or SOP, specified from each cluster of proneural cells, and that cell then gives rise to a sensory bristle on the back of the fly. How does lateral inhibition govern this selection process?
Notch signaling is working there. Notch is a receptor, and it's expressed in all the cells in the proneural clusters. And notch is activated by its ligand delta that express on adjacent cells. And the basic idea is that delta binds to notch and then activates a pathway which ends up in inhibiting the production of delta and also inhibiting the ability of these cells to become a sensory organ precursor. So lateral inhibition is basically a cell which will end up being a selected SOP is inhibiting the nearby cells by activating notch receptors on those cells. And this is a notch delta pathway. It works in lateral inhibition, in neural development, conserved in vertebrates and in many other places. So the main thing that got us interested in this system is to understand how lateral inhibition works in a highly reliable way. And when I say work in a highly reliable way, it's the fact that when you look at the bristles, you see that it always, or maybe in 99% of the cases, there's just a single bristle which is being defined in each of the clusters. So a single SOP is being defined in each of the clusters. So it's highly reliable. The bristles are always found in very characteristic place.
You said that specification of the SOP rarely fails, that there's almost always a single bristle at this particular place where you're looking. When it does fail, is the bristle missing or is it duplicated?
So there could be, in principle, there could be both types of fail, right? A bristle could be missing or there could be a duplication of bristles. When you look at the fly, in the rare cases that oils are observed, it's typically, it's a duplication of bristles. So loss of bristle in wild-type flies is not observed. And duplication is really also very rare. It's only 1% of the bristles which are being duplicated. And the question is that we ask ourselves is what this tells us about the circuit, or how, what are the properties of the circuit to actually make it so robust and so reliable.
What is it about the circuit that minimizes the error?
Exactly. One thing that is important is that the circuit is highly reliable when you look at it at the wild-type flies. But if you look at flies that carry perturbation in components of the lateral inhibition circuit, for example, that have non-functional allele of notch, or have overexpression of one of the ligands of notch, like delta, then you start seeing errors. And you do start seeing many more instances of, for example, of duplicated bristles or of loss of bristles, depending on the perturbation. So there is a potential for errors in the lateral inhibition circuit, except that in the wild-type flies, something in the wild-type circuit makes it very robust and very resistant to errors.
Right, and you only see those errors when you perturb the dosage of components of the Notch signaling pathway.
Yeah, exactly.
Your group then used mathematical modeling to analyze the lateral inhibition circuit during SOP specification. And what did your modeling experiments tell you about how the circuit works and why the system is so resistant to error?
So the first thing that we did was to not to look at the specifics of the circuit, but just to model a very general process of lateral inhibition that only takes the very basics of the process itself, namely the ability of one cell to inhibit each other, and ask what are the sources of error in this type of configuration, without even going into the details of the molecular circuit. And this enabled us to actually point out what are the sources of the errors. And we found that the main sources of the errors are two. And the most critical one is the delay between the time that one cell initiates the inhibition of the other until the other cell is actually being affected by the inhibition. So there must be a delay. If there is zero delay, then there are no errors. You get a perfect choice each time you try.
But in the real world, there has to be a delay.
There has to be a delay, exactly. And the length of this delay is really what controls the error. So in order to minimize the error, the key thing is to minimize this delay. And we could derive an estimation about how the error frequency depends on this delay.
So you first started out with this sort of generalized lateral inhibition circuit to identify the points in the circuit where errors were prone to occur. And then you moved to looking specifically at the circuit of lateral inhibition in the specification of the sensory organ precursor cell with Notch. You used those specific molecular components of that circuit to model.
Right. And what we saw then was that the standard description of the Notch-Delta interaction appears to be a little bit problematic. It's actually, when you look at the circuit, then the inhibition requires activation of transcription. So what's happening is that delta binds to Notch, and then it generates an activated Notch, Notch intercellular domains. And Notch intercellular domains goes and activates gene expression of the genes of the enhancer of split complex. And this requires a relatively long time, in matters of minutes, at least minutes. And a delay of order of minutes seems not to be compatible with the low error rate that is observed.
And so in vivo, then, how does the system overcome that delay?
Yeah, so we introduced another interaction into the system. And this additional interaction is the cis interaction, the ability of delta to interact in Notch, not just in trans, but also in cis. So the way that the lateral inhibition in the Notch-Delta pathway it's working is that delta in one cell activates Notch in the other cell. This is a trans interaction. But it's also known that delta can interact with Notch within the stem cell, this interaction. Now, this interaction doesn't lead to an activated Notch. So it doesn't activate the Notch response, but they're known to interact.
And that inhibits the Notch pathway rather than activating it.
Yeah, it works to inhibit. And it was shown in different systems, but it was never really being described as part of the lateral inhibition circuit. And what we saw is that when we introduce this interaction into the lateral inhibition circuit, then it suggests a model of lateral inhibition where inhibition is much more rapid. So instead of working with the delay of minutes, then introducing this interaction into this model of lateral inhibition can reduce the delay to just being seconds. And this, we predicted, will be fundamental in reducing the error rate.
That's because the cell that will become the sensory organ precursor is repressing Notch signaling in itself at the same time as it's activating Notch signaling in its neighbors. So that's what lends the robustness to the system?
Yeah, it actually works in two stages. So what the model predicts is that initially it's the cis interaction which dominates. So you can think about it as having delta accumulate in the cell, but initially it only interacts with notch with cis, and there's no free delta to activate notch in trans. But then after enough delta had accumulated to completely saturate notch in one of the cells, then it becomes available to activate notch in trans. So the first stage is dominated by cis interaction, and then the second stage, where actually lateral inhibition takes place, is dominated by the trans interaction.
And so that amplifies the differences between the cells.
It amplifies small differences between the cells, and it also makes everything work much more rapidly. That's basically what we were able to show using the mathematics.
And did those predictions from the mathematical models translate into the in vivo system, into the fly?
Yeah, so the critical prediction of having cis interaction dominating is that the notch and delta don't have only positive role in transmitting the lateral inhibition, but they also have negative role initially as they inhibiting each other. And because, for example, the more notch you have, then the more delta you need to accumulate before you can initiate trans inhibition. When they only function in trans, then the prediction is that they have the same contribution to the error rate. So if you reduce the level of notch, you reduce the level of delta, you expect to get the same phenotype, and you reduce both of them, you amplify the phenotype. But when cis interaction dominates, then they can have compensating effect because they work in opposite direction. What we predicted is that if the cis model is correct, then you can get compensating interaction. And for example, if you reduce the level of notch by 50%, you will get a much higher error rate, but you can compensate for this by reducing the level of the ligand. And then we did the experiment, and this was actually the case.
You were specifically looking at lateral inhibition in proneural clusters in the fly with notch signaling. Do you think that these findings about lateral inhibition circuits are generalizable and could apply to other lateral inhibition contexts?
Well, first of all, I very much hope so. I think that the notch signaling is highly conserved, and the function of it in lateral inhibition is also highly conserved, specifically in neural development. And I think that more specifically, the system which appears to be the most similar is the differentiation of the hair cells and the supporting cells in the inner ear. It's a mechanosensory system. The resemblance is very high, so I think that this is one of the places that's worthwhile looking more closely into, and we might do that. If it's the same, it's again, you get this critical role of disinhibition to minimize the errors. But I think in principle, I believe that it should be generalizable to other systems.
Nama Barkai, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
That was Nama Barkai, corresponding author of a research article published in the July 6th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Barad and colleagues, and it's titled Error Minimization in Lateral Inhibition Circuits. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.